There could be no doubt about it. The new nameplate was crooked. Cordelia had no need to adopt Beavis's expedient of dodging through the mid-morning traffic which cluttered Kingly Street and squinting at the plaque through a dazzle of grinding delivery vans and taxis to recognize stark mathematical fact. The neat bronze oblong, so carefully designed and so expensive, was half an inch out of true. Lopsided as it was, it looked, she thought, despite the simplicity of its wording, both pretentious and ridiculous, a fitting advertisement of irrational hope and ill-advised enterprise. Pride's Detective Agency, third floor, proprietor Cordelia Gray. Had she been superstitious, she might have believed that Bernie's unquiet spirit was protesting against the new plaque with the deletion of his name. And indeed, it had seemed at the time symbolic, the final obliteration of Bernie at her hands. She had never considered changing the name of the agency. While it remained in being, it would always be Pride's. But it had become increasingly irksome to be asked by her clients, disconcerted as much by her sex as by her youth. "But I thought I would be seeing Mr. Pride." They might as well know from the start that there was now only one proprietor, and she a female. Beavis rejoined her at the door, his pretty, mobile face a parody of desolation, and said, "I measured it carefully from the ground. Honestly, Miss Gray." "I know. The pavement must be uneven. It's my fault. We should have bought a spirit level." But she had been trying to limit expenditure from petty cash. £10 a week kept in the battered cigarette tin inherited from Bernie with its picture of the Battle of Jutland, from which money seemed to drain away by a mysterious process unrelated to actual expenditure. It had been only too easy for her to accept the assurance of Beavis, leaping from his typewriter, that he was handy with a screwdriver, forgetting that for Beavis any job was preferable to the one he was actually supposed to be doing. He said, "If I close my left eye and hold my head like this, it looks all right." "But we can't rely on a succession of one-eyed, wry-necked clients, Beavis." Glancing at Beavis's face, which had now fallen into an extreme of despair, which would not have been inappropriate to the announcement of an atomic attack, Cordelia felt an obscure desire to comfort him for his own incompetence. One of the disconcerting aspects of being an employer of staff, a role for which she increasingly felt herself almost wholly unsuited, was this oversensitivity to their feelings, coupled with a vague sense of guilt. This was the more irrational because, strictly speaking, she didn't directly employ either Beavis or Miss Maudsley. Both were hired from Miss Feely's employment agency on a weekly basis, when the agency's caseload warranted it. There was seldom competition for their services. Both were invariably and suspiciously available when asked for. Both gave her honesty, conscientious timekeeping, and a fierce loyalty. Both would, no doubt, have also given her efficient secretarial service if that had lain in their power. Both added to her anxieties, since she knew that the failure of the agency would be almost as traumatic for them as for her. Miss Maudsley would suffer the more. She was a gentle 62-year-old rector's sister, eking out her pension in a bed-sitting room in South Kensington, whose gentility, age, incompetence, and virginity had made her the butt of the countless typing pools through which she had drifted since her brother's death. Beavis, with his facile, slightly venial charm, was better equipped to survive in the London jungle. He was supposed to be a dancer, working as a temporary typist while resting, an inappropriate euphemism when applied to such a restless boy, perpetually fidgeting in his chair or pirouetting on tiptoe fingers splayed, eyes widened and alarmed, as if poised for flight. He was certificated to type 30 words a minute by an obscure secretarial school long since defunct. But Cordelia reminded herself that even they hadn't guaranteed his proficiency to undertake minor jobs as a handyman.